Welcome to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground, a place to get into the word of God so the word of God can get into you. And who am I? I'm just the voice of one calling out saying, repent. You know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I welcome everybody. Hey, man, y'all go ahead and greet everybody. You come in here. Yeah, go ahead and greet everybody. Do me a favor, make sure you put it on mute. Make sure you put it on mute for me when you come in. excuse my voice if it's a little low, man. I just got up not too long ago. Touch somebody and say, that jet lag a real thing. I'm finally getting accustomed to the jet lag. It's real. It's real. I used to be like, man, that stuff ain't real, man. Shut up talking to me. But nah, it's real. Shoes while people up, I'm sleeping while people asleep, I'm wide awake. You know, for that I was a day ahead. I was in, as my wife would say, I was in the future. So yeah, for y'all just coming in, man, I'm gonna just give y'all a little report about China, and talk to y'all and let y'all know what's going on over there, man. And out of the trips, you know, God opened up the doors for me this year. You know, I was able to go to Pakistan. I was able to go to Africa. And this last one, I was able to go to China, all because of God and his just infamous grace and provision and just, you know, him opening up them doors and divine connections. I would say China was the most intense trip of them all. You know what I mean? And, it just opened my eyes up to another realm of the gospel and how serious it is, and just how there's certain people around the world, man, who really can't have this opportunity that we having right now. You know, meeting up and being able to share the word and meet with brothers and sisters like we meeting, man. It's not available to everybody. And I learned that, you know, I really learned that. So yeah. Let me read some scriptures real quick. Let me read some scriptures just to, you know, get it going. Laying down a foundation and everything like that. It says Isaiah 61 in verse 1, it says, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be free. He has sent me to those who mourn to tell them that the time of the Lord's favor have come. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, he said, I knew you. Yeah, before your daddy and your mama knew each other. And they went on their dates, and daddy finally got what he wanted. And you thought you was conceived that night in that hotel room or in that back seat or at your mama house. Or at their parents' house, because, you know, we was doing things, I don't know. You don't know what you got consumed at. You know, your parents could have been just straight out freaks, right? But before they even thought about you, God, you know, some of us was brought into this world just all in sin, too. Our parents were sinning when they had us. But God, he knew us, though. Yeah, he knew us. Mama was probably a stripper. Daddy was probably a dope dealer. But God said, I knew you before them. And I decided to bring you through them. You know what I mean? He knew us, man. And he said, before you were born, I consecrated you. It's not a coincidence you starting to do Bible studies now. It's not a coincidence that you starting to want to pray more now. It's not a coincidence that you want to, you know, go to church every Sunday and you trying to look for what Bible studies at and you want to listen to gospel music and you telling people, I'm changing my life. It ain't that. It's because you was consecrated before you was even brought here. Goofy. Yeah, God been had his hand on you. It's just the appointed time for you to come to your senses. That's all. And he says, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Yeah, it. Oh man, you, hey man, that's crazy. It's lucky you going over there to there. And that, nah, I've been appointed. I just decided to answer that call and say, okay, God, what, not my will, but thy will be done. You've been to see everybody on this phone call. You appointed to some nations, man. There's nations that we don't even know about, man. I'm telling you, when I was over there, and I ain't gonna say the word, I ain't gonna say the country. I'm gonna just keep saying this. When I was over there in C, because I don't even much know if you know what I'm saying. If you know, so I'm gonna just say C. When I was over there in C Town, man, I was in places like what? I was around people like what? Yeah, didn't even know this was even out here. But guess what? Them people needed to hear the gospel. And guess who appointed me to be there? God. And so no matter who like it and no matter who got a problem with it, I'm here. Yeah, we here. Yeah, everything that tried to keep us from coming, everything that tried to oppress us, everything that tried to, make us scared and make us timid. Nah. We've been appointed to be here. And so since I'm here, I might as well go ahead and bang it out. You know? So let me go ahead and tap in real quick to all you prophets who are appointed to the nations and give you a word real quick. So, first of all, I'm gonna start off like in Galatians. You know, when Paul used to write his letters, he used to be like, I, Paul, write to the churches of Galatians and all those type of things. So I, the voice, come to the churches of America. Peace and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First of all, the trip, it was a 16-hour trip. You know, we had a 10-hour layover in San Francisco, the Bay. That was my first time being there. And it was cool. Now I went with my mentor. His name is Pastor Mac. That's what I call him. And how did I meet Pastor Mac? One day I was in the room. I looked at my wife. I told her, "Hey, God want me to go to the prisons." Shout out to your city, Londo. Shout out to the Bay Area. But anyways, it's my boy London too, man. Love you, boy. Hey, so I told God, "Okay, what prison you want me to go to?" He told me, get online and you got to take a class where you'll be, you go get in, you got to take a, them type of classes. You got a training class. I say, cool. So that Saturday, I was going to take a class. Before I went to the class, you can ask my wife, she'll let you know. I say, God said, I'm going to meet somebody there. I already knew I was going to meet somebody there who was going, it was going to be a divine connection. Because, walking with God, that's how we roll. Now, I ain't looking for people to put me on. I already know God gonna put me on. That's a word for somebody. I ain't trying to kiss buddies with nobody or try to appease people because I know God gonna put me on. Yeah, there's certain doors that only God can open for me that no man can be able to open and no man can be able to shut. So I'm not going to spend my life trying to please people. I'm not going to spend my life trying to suck up to people. I'm not trying to spend my life trying to get in the dough, get in cool with people. Nah. God told me I'm going to meet somebody, so I'm going to meet somebody. And that's how we go do that there. So anyways, I went to this training class. It was about a 4-hour training class. I was in the back of the class. I wasn't listening to somebody and say he wasn't listening. I always had a problem with these structured classes. That's why my GPA in high school was an abomination to my parents. It was an abomination. So if, and I always tell people, if when you go by, when you're graduating, and if you would have went by the GPA instead of by your last name, which my last name is very early in the alphabet, so I got to go first. They call my name first. But if it went by GPA, my mama would have said, I'm gonna meet you at the house. Yeah, I'm gonna go get one of your friends to drop you off because they still haven't called you yet. What you been doing, son? That was my GPA. But God, to somebody say, but God, he had a plan for that goofy. He had a plan for that just slow. Yeah, I didn't mesh well in school. Can I just talk to y'all tonight? This is Bible study, and I'm gonna get y'all out in a couple of I'm gonna try to get y'all early because I know it's Monday night football. And I know people, want to watch the game and everything, so I understand. I understand. And wait for the ready night party. So I'm gonna try to get y'all out on time. So yeah, them classes in school, it was something that it just didn't mesh well with me. I couldn't get involved. It just didn't mesh well with my spirit. I was trying to tell my mama that, but she was like, boy, shut up. You're just not applying yourself. But I was like, mama, I just don't understand this English and who they talking about in history. I don't know these people. What history? And so I couldn't pay attention. I had a lack of focus. I had a lack of fear for my GPA. I just wasn't scared of my GPA like that. I wasn't scared of not getting in college. I wasn't worried about that. You know what I was worried about? Getting girls and being a part of my step group. That was my high school. That was my high school. So when it came to me going to these classes, I'm going right back to where I was going, so I'm in the class and I'm not listening. They telling me about, how to be safety and all these type of things. And I'm like, man, it is what it is. So after the class, we go outside. Now, remind you, when you take these training classes, now you got to get on the list and they'll call you when they have availability to go into these prisons to preach the word, because it's a lot of people who go into them like every Saturday. So you got to get on like a schedule. So, but God told me something different. So I'm outside and I see this old man, you know what I mean? And Holy Spirit say, go and talk to him. So I go and talk to him, greet him. You feel what I'm saying? That's why it's so important, my young people. It's always important to show respect to your elders. Oh my God, it's so important to show respect to your elders, to your mama, to your daddy. What you doing getting an attitude with your mama for? What you mean you don't like your daddy? Man, it don't matter what's going on. Man, you show respect to your elders. That's honor. And honor is the key to unlocking a lot of doors in your life. Just honoring people. Just honoring people. I will say that a lot of people, there you go, a lot of people have a hard time honoring people. Because do you really honor yourself? Hey, if I look at your life, does it show that you honor yourself? If we was to take a scan and go through your body, do them drugs show in your body that you honor your temple? Yeah, to my women out there, let me go ahead and I'm finna hit you real hard. Does your vagina show that you honor yourself? To my brothers, does your penis show that you honor yourself? Because that's what honor. You don't give it away like that. You have a certain respect for yourself, though you got feelings and hormones, but you just honor yourself. You don't listen to everything. You don't look at everything. You honor your eyes. You honor your ears. You honor the presence of God that's on your life. So you don't take the Holy Spirit any type of way. See, that's honoring. You must learn to honor thyself before you can honor the next man. But anyways, so I meet this guy, Pastor Mack, and we get to talking, and God was just like, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, and so I'm like, hey man, you mind if I take you out to eat? Yeah, let's go to lunch one day. He said, okay. So I get his number, woo woo woo, and we go to a place and we sit down and eat, and we just talking. And man, I'm listening to this guy. He telling me, first of all, he the chaplain over the prison. Uh-oh, divine connection. Ain't no, you know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting down with the chaplain. I'm like, I ain't even know this. And then he started just telling me about all the countries he been to. This man has been over 43 countries, man. I'm looking, he's showing me pictures and everything. I'm like, man, hold up. And don't look like it. Here's another lesson I want to tell. Man, there may be certain people that you may think like, you see my wife telling you at all. I'm telling you, don't got a, he had a Kroger's jacket on with some old, you remember those blue school pants we used to wear? Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Them blue school pants you used to wear. I used to get them from Walmart. And with the white shirt and the khaki pants, because you had to wear khaki, blue, and the white shirt and the blue shirt. He had those pants on with some Shoe Mart shoes. You know what type of them Payless shoes. Them type of shoes. And the bottom of his pants was so big that you really couldn't see the shoe like that. That's what he had on. You know what I'm saying? He didn't look like he went to the nations. I'm just being real. So you got to be careful with your fleshly eyes. You got, and then when he pulled up in a Fred and Sanford truck. Dun 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 dun. Yeah, I think I'm laughing. I mean, playing, but I'm so serious. He pulled up in one of those trucks. Dun 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 dun. And he hopped out. I'm like, oh, man, what, man? I guess I'm paying for it. You get what I'm saying? He hopped out looking like you gonna have to pay for this lunch. So I already, I went to my phone app and go ahead and transferred some money from my check into my savings and save it to my. So I like, I guess I'm gonna have to pay for this. Cause he just didn't look like it, right? Yeah, that man who's showing you attention right now, sis, he just don't look like it. Yeah, that woman who's trying to show you attention, fellas, and she really want to talk to you, and she really trying to become submissive and be your wife, but she just don't look like it. Those type of people can be the door to your kingdom. Yeah, his shoe game ain't all the way there, right, sis? Yeah, his fade. He don't got that fade. Oh my God. He don't got that fade that you like. You know, he got that his uncle or his uncle on his mama's side cut it for $5. He got that type of fade, Susie. He don't dress like, you know what I'm talking about. And you when people ask, go, do you like him? I mean, he nice. He that type of person. Yeah. So he a brother. You want him to be a brother more than you want him to be a lover. So we sitting down and we like I say, we just talking and man, I'm blown away. And I say, man, listen here. I told him, I say, hey, I'm just here to serve. And I say, whatever you need me to do, sir. I just want to serve. I say if you need, and I'm so serious. I tell him if you need anybody to clean the prisons, the bathrooms, or you need anybody to pick up trash, anything. I was so ready for the will of God at that particular moment of my life because there's gonna come a time, my brothers and sisters, where the world is just gonna taste disgusting to you. You ever eat something so much? And then you begin to despise it. You know, growing up in certain households, you might eat a certain meal, and when you grow up, you like, I just don't. I ate it so much. That's how I felt with the world. I ate it so much. You're talking about the chief of sinners right now. I ate the world so much. I ate the lust of the world so much. The pride of this world, I was eating it so much. The lust of my eyes, I was eating it so much. And it was just that I was just tired. You know, you know, going out and you know you're getting tired when you go out. And I mean, it may be crunk and the crowd may be packed and you may be getting attention, but you just like, what's wrong with you? Nothing, I'm just tired. It just wasn't satisfying me. Just wasn't satisfying me.
So I was just ready to serve in the kingdom. God, whatever you want me to do. I don't care about a platform. I don't care about if people see me. I don't care about if people know me. Whatever you want me to do, God. You need me to pick up the trash on the freeway. You want my ministry to be up, be trash picking up. I do that. Whatever you need me to do, God. But I just need to be in your kingdom. I need to get your will. I need to get your mindsets. I'm tired of my desires. I'm tired of my thinking. I'm tired of my lusts. Yeah, I mean, just tired. And so I told him that, and he was like, oh, okay. He say, oh, well, meet me at the prison Monday. So he say, just hand me, just give me your driver license number and meet me at the prison. Just like that. Like I told him, but I told you got to be on the list, man. But when you know certain people, you can skip that line. Yeah, I say when you on that list, when you on that VIP list for the kingdom of God, and you come to the front, you can just skip a line. You walk straight to the front, and everybody looking at you like, well, what? How he get in? I'm on that list. I've been appointed and anointed for this time right here, just like I'm talking to y'all right now. I'm telling you, you appointed and anointed for such a time right now. What you waiting on? What the world are you waiting for? What you waiting for? So that Monday, I come in there, and man, he told me to get up and preach. First day I was there, he say, go ahead and get up there and about introduce yourself by 10 to 15 minutes. Go ahead, whatever God want to share. He not knowing I've been in that gym. I've been at the underground gym for some time now. You feel me? See, when you stay ready, you really don't got to get ready. Yeah, so when it's that time, you just, hey, what's up? Yeah, he told me, get up there and pray. Do what? Oh, let's go. And I'm talking to my brothers. They know my lingo. Oh, let's go. And man, the Holy Spirit came in that prison so powerful, y'all. That ho and right then and there, that brother told, hey, every week, yeah, come on. Every week, you come on up here. I put your name on the list. And that's how, I got into the prisons. And so then, brother was like, this was at the beginning of the year. He was like, hey, man, I'm going to Pakistan. I was like, what? So somebody say, what, Pakistan? All I know about Pakistan is I see stuff on the news. I don't know what you going on. I see stuff on the news. I don't what Pakistan. He said, yeah. I want you to go with me. I say, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? Discuss it with my wife. My wife, she just down. She's so down for the king. Every time I try to, make them look cute excuses. I call them cute excuses because I'm really kind of nervous on the inside. She was like, but baby, I think this is what God wants you to do. Touch somebody and say, that's what kind of woman you need. So yeah, I guess I'm going to Pakistan. Guess I'm going to Pakistan. And man, that was the first time that I just seen the kingdom open up to me like never before, man. I seen God in such a bigger stage. Yeah, I was thinking God was just your local supermarket. I thought he was just a little corner store up the street. Man, please. God has a whole corporation around this world. I thought my church was the best in the, because we get so caught up in our little bubble. We get so caught up in the way we do things. Let me not say we. I'm gonna speak for myself right now. I'm gonna put myself. You get so caught up on how you do ministry or how you speak or how you want things to go. Until I went over there and I see, man, this a whole different, I need the Holy Spirit guidance right now. I just need the Spirit of God right now. And so, yeah, over there in Pakistan, man, seeing so many miracles, so many demons cast out, so many healings, got to preach in all type of different villages and in different languages. I always have a translator with me, just seeing all these people in it. I mean, they was coming thousands and thousands and thousands every day, just coming to these meetings. It was just a beautiful thing to see. And I tasted. I tasted something else. I said, oh, I like this. Like when you go to Sam's and when you go to the store and they got those samples and you never tasted before and they sitting up there and they trying to compel you to come taste this. And I think that's what God was doing. He was just trying to compel me to taste the nations. And so I tasted and I was like, okay, what do I find this at? What aisle this on? How much this costs, God? Yeah. Because when you find out that you like it, you got to figure out the cost and where to get it from. And so God began to talk to me about a more consecrated lifestyle. Let me talk to you real quick. Let me go ahead and put a comma right there. There's something in your heart, something in your heart that God has put there. And you're tasting it, you're hungry for it. The problem that you may be having is that you don't want to take on that consecrated lifestyle that you're going to have to take on. That's the answer for somebody. You're going back and forth. Back and forth. It may be because you are afraid or you don't want to take on the pressures of that consecrated lifestyle. Touch somebody and say, it's going to be pressure. And it's going to take everything in you. That's what's keeping you back right now. You still probably want to mix and dabble with some things and still want the same friends around and still want the same family members around and still want to go to the same places and still have conversations with the same people. But I'm telling you right now, the lifestyle that you are inspiring to have and that God is calling you to have is going to take some consecration. Along with some preservation, concentration, these things, a disciplined lifestyle. What is God asking you to put away? Isolation, amen. Yeah. You know, isolate. Oh, thank you. Isolation messes with insecurities. Ooh, let me knock on somebody's door real quick. Let the Holy Spirit knock on somebody's door. See, when you're in isolation, you don't got a crowd. You don't have a crowd. See, when you're in isolation, you don't have that audience. See, everybody in this room right here, like I say, I know everybody particularly, and I've met you. You got that. You just have a glow about you. You've been that. Yeah, you've been him. You've been her. You really didn't need much to be popular. You really didn't need much for people to acknowledge you and know you. So when you get in isolation and you don't have people acknowledging you no more, your phone line dry. Ain't no, you looking at your phone every couple minutes and you like, ain't nobody texting me this morning? Why ain't nobody texting me? See, that's what isolation do. You start acting like a fiend when you're in isolation. That's why you got to be careful when you're talking about a crackhead that you see on the streets, because you become a crackhead when you're in isolation. You got the same attributes as a crackhead when God cuts you off from the world. You walking around the house going crazy because God had told you not to go out no more. You walking around looking out the windows. You walking around going crazy because God told you to stop fornicating. You walking around going crazy because God had told you to put down a weed. You walking around going crazy because God had told you to stop watching certain TV shows. You walking around crazy because God had told you to quit a certain job. You walking around crazy. You scratching and fiending. That's what isolation will do to you. I'm here to tell you, you're not going crazy. I meet a lot of people in my life that, you know, feel like they're struggling, but I'm here to tell you now, you're just going through some withdrawals from the world. You're just going through withdrawals. You're trying to kick that itch. Oh, man. Yeah, putting that music down. Yeah, God telling you, I don't want you listening to that music. You don't even know how not to listen to that type of music. Your flesh don't know how to listen to that type of music. You put on gospel music and you start falling asleep. You get bored. It don't make you start twerking. It don't make you start bobbing your head. God wants you in worship. He don't want your body to move. He wants your heart to move. He don't want your legs to move or your arms to move. He wants your obedience to move. He ain't worried about your flesh making moves. He wants your mind and your heart to make moves. So anyways, back to the story that I never loved. So came back from Pakistan, did that thing. You feel what I'm saying? So I didn't got a taste of these nations. So, you know, getting involved in that consecrated life that God is calling me to be in. So now I have to change certain lifestyles. There's a certain diet now that I must take on. And I want to see the benefits of this diet. So I'm going to stay consistent with it. Let me say that again. I want to see the benefits of this spiritual diet. So I'm going to stay consistent with it. So that's what I put my mind to. I'm not putting my mind to making money. I'm not putting my mind to getting ahead or I don't all this stuff that the world try to chase you. No. I don't get my tests from the world. I don't get my goals from the world. God gave me that goal, and that goal was consecration. That's what I'm focusing on. Don't you think you might want to do this? Don't you think you might want to do that? I mean, you get consecration. Consecration. And I want to talk to God more than I talk to people. Those are my goals. And I stay consistent and disciplined with these things. And then Africa opened up. How did I get to Africa? Divine connections. The pastor I was telling y'all about that I went to Pakistan. When you go to these other countries, you're going to see other people there who may know these people and knows these people. So when I was in Pakistan, met somebody who Pastor Mac knew, got acquainted, talk, strange information. They hit me up and say, hey, you know, God put it on my heart. You know, I'm taking a team to Africa and just God highlighted you. God highlighted you. Would you like to go? Divine connections. Why am I telling you this? Because that's a part of your life too. That's why I'm trying to encourage you to consecrate yourself, because you can start to walk in those divine connections. So yo, same, went to Africa, man, just seen, that was a personal, that was a, sometimes in the kingdom of God, you need, I would say for me, you know, God to give you some confidence in your walk and let you know, hey, I'm with you, son, and I called you to do this. You know, because you be insecure about things in your walk. And, you know, did you really call me to do this, God? I don't know. You know, every once in a while you get those things. I feel like Africa was that for me. It solidified me like, yeah, this is what I'm called to do. Yeah, I'm not going to pay attention to what nobody is saying. I feel like in that trip, God say, he put a stamp and say, this is what you call to do, son. Preach my word. Bring hope to my people. Bring restoration to my people. Bring freedom to my people. And that's what happened in Africa. So I thank God for that opportunity. You know what I mean? And it changed my life for real, for real. And not from a standpoint of the physical. Again, from a spiritual aspect and just knowing, man, I have a people to talk to. And it's all over the world. My mind was so confined to just one place because I didn't see. I haven't seen bigger than that when it comes to spiritual things. And so I thank God for that divine connection that he made me to go to his country in Africa. Because you know all these countries that God opening up, it's his world, it's his country. People just try to take control of it. And so again, tasted some in Africa. And now I got a desire. Again, the more and more you get closer to God, the more and more he begins to open up doors. The more and more you start to see things, the more and more your desires change. And when your desires change, you begin to want things in the kingdom more than you want things in the world. So now I'm wanting more of the presence of God. I need your presence. I need your presence when I go to work. I need your presence when I come into my home. I need your presence when I'm riding in the car. I need your presence when I'm walking through the mall. I need your presence. See, it's his presence that allows me to stay away from things that I don't need to be a part of. It's his presence that keeps my mouth from saying things that I don't need to say. His presence. I feel him next to me. I feel him walking with me. I feel him living with me. So when I feel that there's a certain fear and honor that I have, let's be real, man. If you really know that, if we really knew and have a revelation that God is really with us, we wouldn't be doing certain things. Because, listen, there are certain things. Let me talk to all my dope dealers and my gang members and all my crooked people out there, whoever listening. There are certain things you don't do because you have a fear when the cops around. When the cops around, you ain't going to do certain things. Why? Because there's a fear of their presence. There's certain things you don't do when your girlfriend around. I'm finna get somebody in trouble. There's certain things you don't do when your man is around. You don't talk a certain way, sis, when your man is around. You don't joke a certain way. There's certain you act a certain way when your man is not around. but because there's a certain fear and presence that comes along with that. So I'm just here to tell you, like, you just need more presence. God, I need more of I want to spend more time with you. So yeah, getting back to the story that I never left. I'm still here. No, I'm still. We still cruising on. We still in the HOV lane. We in that lane. We just cruise. And so I get back and like I say, another level. Hey man, God, I really want this, man. I really want this. So, you know, got to cut off some more things. Got to stop, you know. When I say stop doing things, I'm not talking about just necessarily you doing bad things. I mean, you're trying to become the best version of what God wants you to be. So you're trying to become more disciplined, just more focused on the things of God. And so tried to stay disciplined to that. And Pastor Mac hit me up again. Now during this time, you know, I'm going to the prisons every Tuesday and we kicking the devil butt. Oh my God, we stumping the devil out in the prison. We knocking the devil out, TKO first round in them prisons. So we in the gym, bah, bah, every day. And then, you know, come up to me, Pastor Mac, he say, hey man, I want you to go to China with me. It's like, man, okay. Now, we all live in America. You know, we hear things about China. I know. We hear these type of things about that. So off top, I'm like, you know, man, I'm kind of nervous about that. For real, for real. But ain't no doubt, you know, even though I'm nervous, I'm going to still hop in that car and ride with my partners, though. Yeah, when the homie pull up and say, hey, man, come with me real quick, doc. Even though you may not know what's going on and you might be a little scared, but that ain't going to stop you from going. That ain't going to stop you from going. And deep down inside, I promise y'all, I knew, oh, this is going to be a different one. It's gonna be one of those. It's gonna be one of those. So the first night, y'all, when we hop over there, first thing I knew when we walking through the airport, there's a certain control and order. Everything is did with order. Cause I'm looking around, cause two of the words that God gave me was watchful, focus, and discipline. These was the words that got just stay watchful, stay focused, and stay disciplined. I said, okay. Got you, got you. So soon as I get out, you know, I'm looking around and I'm like, ooh, I'm seeing, man, these people are very in order. You don't see certain attitudes going on over there. You can tell, it's just, you know, they got their people in check, man. Even when it comes to we had to catch a taxi from the airport, there's a line for that. And the taxi will pull up, that man and woman get out their taxi, open the door, that's when you go to it. You know, and I was feeling it. I'm like, man, they let you know, yeah, we got this over here. We got this over here. Don't come over here acting like what you do over there. Oh, okay. Now, before we got here, you know, I was given strict instructions, you know, not to post pictures, not to tell, you know, any much people where I was going because they track certain things over there. All this is new to me, by the way. I don't know. All this is new to me. I'm just going with the flow. I really still don't understand the severity of these things. You know, because I'm really operating in like just blind faith. That's how I'm operating. Hey, do me a favor. Everybody hear me good? Give me a thumbs up. I just want to make sure y'all hear me good before I keep going. Everybody hear me good? Okay. Y'all hear me good? Okay. So yeah, I'm just operating in blind. You know, people say, you know, be careful. I'm like, man, what y'all talking about, man? You know, I'm cool. Nah, you know, just be careful. I'm like, okay. But I'm, you know, whatever. I've been on two trips already. What you mean? Be careful. I know what I'm, you know, woo, 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 woo. So yeah, we get in the hotel. So we in a taxi ride, and I'm just looking around again. A certain aura to the city. You feel the control and the oppression a little bit. You feel it. So we pull up to the hotel room and we get out, you know what I'm saying? First thing, as soon as we get out, man, everybody staring at you. It, listen here. When I say you gonna be the only person over there, you gonna be the only person that look like you over there. Period. Over here, we got different nations, we got different tongues, we got different skin tones. No. When you go over there, you the only thing that look like you. And so the stairs off top was, you know, had me on edge a little bit. What you look, you know, because over here, somebody mean mugging you like that. You're like, man, what you looking at, dog? Is this a problem? But they haven't seen nothing like you. You know, we see Chinese people every day when we go to the beauty supply store or when we go up to Wok or Timmy Chan or something like that. We see that every day. So we're not, you know, we're like, oh, okay, whatever. But there's people across this world and say na certain nations that God is going to appoint you to. Man, I ain't never seen nothing like you. That's what I'm saying. This world way more bigger than our little Instagram page. This world way more bigger than our little cute little jobs and cute little bank accounts and cute little, you know, friends and all that. Man, this world is way more big and it's way more people. And our little bubble that we got, man, hey, it compares nothing to what's God's plan for this world. That's why I'm here to encourage you, man. Get on God's plan, because our little plans, It compares nothing to what God trying to do. So yeah, we get in. We check in and everything, and the rooms. You know, I guess people over there very small because the beds was like my 3-year-old beds when she was three, and everything was small. Everything was small over there. The beds were small. The room was small. I don't know. I was like, what? So yeah, we go ahead, get tucked in and all those type of things. Now I'm just gonna just take you through the trip and let y'all know what's going down. The next day we get up and my mentor, Pastor Man, he just wanted to, cause he been here 5 times already. Yeah, he been here 5 times already. He been doing this, banging it out. And what I like about when he takes me to these places, he don't talk much. He tries to let me experience and learn it. And he'll say something every once in a while. Did you see that? Okay. He'll give me a card and say, hey, hang on to this card. You never know if he might need it. He do things like that. Hey, did you see that address we just passed? He'll say stuff like that to me. Just to see if I'm paying attention. You see how, so if we in the back seat of the taxi and he see me dozing out, oh, get up, son. Stay watchful. Get up. Yeah, we can't fall asleep in this taxi. Where you think we at? We ain't in America, boy. Yeah. So, okay, I'm in training. Okay, got it. So the next day we go to this thing called the Forbidden City. And this is where I guess some kings and people used to live. So all the people in the country comes here. And it's like a big thing to come here. And it's like a big old palace. And I was like, man, it was so big, y'all. And again, this is the places where so many people was coming up to me, wanting to take pictures. So many people was, you know, you have people certain, like I had a lot of older people just come up to you and just start touching on your ears and touching on your eyes. This real life. Like, again, anywhere else, you'll get stole off on. Let's be real. Anywhere else you'll get, it'll be an issue. When my mentor here, when he see that, he say, just roll with it. They ain't never seen nothing like you before. Just roll with it. So just getting used to that, you know, just getting used to those type of things. So I'm just encouraging you guys, you know, that may happen to you. And, you know, you just gonna have to roll with it and learn to get used to people probably not knowing who you are, not seeing nothing like you. God told you were set apart. So that second day, that's what we did. We just went around the city, seen the culture, studied the culture out. You see what I'm saying? Study the people out. That was my job. I just wanted to get a feel for the people. Cause in a couple of days, I mean, the next day is work time. It's work time. Now over there, you guys, you gotta understand, they have a lot of things called the underground churches. Why? Because it's not. They want to control what you preaching. They want to control what you praying about. They want to control your sermons. And so a lot of these churches that we was going to, it was in a lot of remote areas. It was in a lot of homes, apartments. It was in a lot of villages, places. And there was a lot of people that was coming to these things. You know what I mean? And so the first night that we had a meeting, went well. You know, the Spirit of God was moving so heavily up in there, man. We got to pray for a lot of people. The people that's in the kingdom of God over there in China, they are so welcoming. They were so nice. Every time we come in, they had a spread for you that was outside of this world. Tell somebody and say, they Chinese food ain't nothing like our Chinese food. It's so, you know, we over here, I don't know, but it ain't nothing like it. Yeah, it ain't nothing like it. I said, y'all got some sweet and sour chicken? They looked at me like, what? Sweet and sour, what is that? Sweet and sour. Y'all got no sweet and sour? Yeah. Y'all got no kung pao chicken or something like that? What is that? But you know, I was so, you get what I'm saying? So used to my stuff. Nah, he over here with deal. Y'all got no General Joe's? Y'all got no shrimp fry? They not knowing nothing I'm saying. No Tim, yeah, none of that. That's what we think. You see what I'm saying? God's showing me, see some of your mind. You have been conformed. Yeah, you've been conformed, and I'm trying to renew your mind of things, renew your mind of a certain group of people. So what I did, I say, let me fall back from what I perceive and what I'm used to, and I just need to accept whatever comes. I'm gonna accept it. Accept them. They put some Beatles in front of me. I'm not accepting that. No, I'm not. Man, I'm talking about, cause what it is, you sit in front of the table and the table just roll around and roll around. I did not, you a lie? I did not eat not one beetle. I don't care what, I'm not accepting that abomination. That is an abomination, and I'm not eating that. I refuse to sin like that. I'm not eating that. Yeah, beetles. I'm talking about a bug. I say, what is, man, nah. I'm not eating that. I'm not, I can't do it. Now I eat that chicken over there. But I'm not eating this that. And what that is, why is it all gooey? You know, it was a little stuff, but I was just trying to get, you know, used to it and everything. And the whole time I got my translator next to me. Shout out to my translator, excellent, excellent. Just so excellent at what she was called to do, man. For real, for real. So such excellent. So I was able to talk to the people while we was breaking bread and everything. So that was the first night. Just a powerful message. And like I say, got used to the people. And again, they was just so happy to see you. Yeah, they was just so, you know, you was getting so much love from these people. And just, it was all love. It was all love, for real, for real. So the second night, you know, second day, where did we go? I'm just trying to remind myself, you guys. I wrote it down too because I wanted to talk to you guys about these things. Y'all all right? I said I was going to try to get y'all out of here quick, but I just want to get this done. Oh, okay. Yeah. So the second day, we had another countryside meeting. You get what I'm saying? And that was like in some a little apartment. You know, like again, we meet them to the apartments. And when you go into these places too, it's like one of those you pull up and you got to hurry up and get out. They gotta cover you. They don't want nobody to see you. Those type of things. That type of thing is what made it intense to me. Because I'm like, dang, you really gotta do this? You know, we just, it's free. You so used to just, you know, you going to church today? Nah, I'm good. I ain't going today. I'm tired. I'm finna watch the Dallas Cowboys. They come on at 12. I can't go today. You know what I'm saying? You just free to make these decisions and free to kind of do what you want. But over there, I'm like, man, they really gotta be low key with this. They really gotta be there. And then also, when you're worshiping over there, you know how we can get loud and cr man, you get to a certain tones, the preacher or the pastor will be like, shh, 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 shh. Look quiet, look quiet. Because you don't want to draw attention to the building or something like that. That was new. That was kind of like, man, okay. So this particular night, the next night, this is what kind of shifted for me. Everything going good. So every time we get to a meet, they're going to have food laid out for us. We go eat first. Then we're going to go into a room. We go pray. And then we're going to go do the service. That's how they do it. And by the way, these services, they go on for 4 to 5 hours. I'm just letting you know. I let 1 hour serves. The preacher preach 30 minutes, and then the worship be 30 minutes. Not over here. It's gonna be 4 to 5, 6. You know,
My flesh started getting a little irritated. So somebody said I started getting my flesh. My spirit wanted to be there. I promise y'all, my spirit wanted to be there. But my flesh was like, it ain't, it's time to go. It's a little bit too long, man. You know, you looking at that clock like, wait a minute. But that's just how they do it over there, man. That's life. You know, when they meet up, they're really meeting up to encourage each other. Not saying we don't do that over here. I'm not saying that. I'm just giving you an illustration and understanding what I got over there. When they meet up, they really meeting up to say, hey, what do we go do? What's our next move? What do we want to take to church? Who house we meeting up next? Who's gonna take care of the food for over there? And that like that is the type of meetings they having. Hire sister such and such. These are the type of meetings they having back there. It's really like a house-to-house movement going on over there. So yeah, so that's what we're doing. And we had Bibles. We had brought Bibles with us in a language, and we was passing them out and those type of things. And so as we passing them out, I had a lady come up to me, and she asked me to pray over her belly. You know, she just pointed to her belly and all those type of things. So I'm like, okay, cool. So as I'm praying for her, all I hear in my ear was, hey, we gotta go. And one of the guys that I was with, he pulled me and he started dragging me to the truck. And I'm so serious. The truck, when we got outside, the truck just pulled up like, stop real quick. And he pushed me in the truck and I got in the van. He told me, get down, get down, get down. And we driving out the village. Now I'm like, I'm like, man, what's going on? He said, oh, somebody didn't call the cops and they on their way. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, but it ain't that serious. But for me, it's not that serious. It's not that serious for you, son, because of the freedoms you have to worship me. The freedom you have to get on the underground and preach the word. The freedom you have to go to a Bible study. The freedom you have to download the Bible app. You know? Hey, man, when you say that, welcome back. Seriously, yeah, I'm really grateful. Like, so, anyways, we in the truck, and he told me, you know, get down, get down. I'm like, man. And so we talk. By the way, it's five of us. It's me, my mentor, two other mentors, and our translator. That was the team. It was just five of us. Because when you go to these countries, you gotta have a small team. Yeah. And so, yeah, we driving it, and he just says, hey, they say, we finna just drop y'all off up here because we got to go back. Drop us off where? That's what I'm looking like, drop us, where we at? That's my mind. I said, what you mean, drop us off? We ain't gonna take us to the room? Nah, he can't be seen with us. He got to drop us off and we got to figure out how we go get back. And that's what that night was. I pulled out my phone and I just wrote down the gospel. And that's what I'm talking to you guys about. Because from that moment on, I was praying every day. From that, when I say I pray every day, but I'm talking to God almost 24/7 now. Cause now I'm paranoid and I'm very intense now. Now I'm very tense up. I don't know how long it took us to get back to that room. I wasn't even keeping up with time then. I'm just trying to like, yo. Are we good? Like, what's, you know what I'm saying? They tell, you know, my mentor said, oh, we good. You know, it's all right. It's just what it is, son. They used to this. Persecution, son. I'm like, okay. I mean, I read about it in the Bible, but I wasn't trying to really,
I say amen to it, but I wasn't really trying to, not on this trip. Can we do that a little when I'm older or something? I'm not trying to do that right now. I'm just trying to, nah, persecution, son. This is what these people go through every day. So anyways, we finally get back to the room. We was able to, we walked. It was raining. Just tell somebody and say, this is different. This is a different one. This is a different one, y'all. And I know I gotta, so, 'cause I talk to my wife every night and every morning. And I'm like, I'm not gonna tell her. I'm telling her now. She already know, but I knew. I said, I'm definitely not telling her what's going on. I can't tell her. Child. So I'm just like, okay. But as even when I'm talking to her, I'm nervous though. Now I'm not in fear, and I'm not saying that to sound. Yeah, I'm not saying that to sound like, oh, you were. Now I wasn't in fear because I've worked up my relationship with God enough to not fear. But I was just nervous and like paranoid and like, okay. So even when we now you guys, when we go to these rooms, they always just people taking pictures of you. Now I'm looking at people, they taking pictures. Now I'm looking at them suspended. At first I was like, yeah, come on, take a picture. What's up? I'm happy to see you. Now I'm looking at people like, man, what you taking that picture for? Everything is like, now I'm so alert and it's uncomfortable for me. And guess what? We still got six, 7 more days to go. Yeah, we still got almost a week to go. Now we in the hotel room. Our translator, she's in the same hotel with us, right? She's down the hall from us. And I remember hearing people that night on our door, on our floor, excuse me. But you know what I mean? I'm just thinking there's people walking around because that's another thing. Man, I couldn't sleep now. I'm hearing footsteps. I'm just nervous. I'm nervous now. I'm like, man. So we get up the next morning and we have another meeting. And our translator told us, hey, the cops came to my room last night. They what? Yeah, they came to my room just, asking questions type things and woo, 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 and all those type of things. And I know they're not telling me everything. I know they're not because I understand wisdom is telling, is that's why they're not telling me everything. And I understand that. But I'm like, why is the, what they coming to her room for? And so now we have, again, we have more meetings to go to. We have more, I would say, crusades we have to do. And I said, I say, man, you still required to be in the spirit of God while going through these things. While up under this type of pressure, you still required to, show up and do the will of God. It makes me think like when, if persecution really hit, see, it really shows you what's in you. Some of our confidence, some of our stability is based on the comfort that we have around us. But the God in you really shows when all those things are taken away from. That's when God show I got this verse real quick I want to read to y'all. It's in Psalms 27 and verse 21. I'm looking it up real quick. Yeah, man, I'm really, y'all. I'm so serious. I'm just so happy to be back.
Now you may say, "Wow, would you go? Go?" But if God was to ask me to go next week, I would go. Crazy, right? But yeah. I'm looking it up right. In Psalms 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. I remember we got in a circle, us five, and the prayer was, God, blind the eyes of those who are trying to come against us. And when they was praying this, my mentors, they really believed it. I was hearing prayers that they was praying like, God, yeah, make them blind, make them not hear what we the plans of us. They was talking, they was praying in certain ways that I'm like, oh, they gotta pray and they gotta pray for these type of things for real, for real. God, bring confusion to people who trying to scout him, plan against us. Bring confusion to their mind. You know, I'm like, they praying like warfare praying. God, I matter of fact, one of the prayers they said, God, make whoever's trying to chase us, make their tires go on flat, or make their tires, the tread begins to wear off on their tires. I mean, they really praying these things, and I'm like, whoa, I have never in my life prayed like that. I don't got no enemies after me like that. But what's crazy is we read a word, and that's what they went through. That was their life. And I'm here to tell y'all, that's still the life of some of our brothers and sisters around this world. That's still life right now for some of our brothers and sisters around this world, man. Our ministries most definitely have to gotta become global. It most definitely gotta become global. I remember, man, like again, so we still doing these meetings, man. One of the meetings, again, we had to, leave kind of early. The rest of them, we was having to leave, come quick, leave early. And one of them, man, I'm looking at these old ladies crying because we gotta leave. I'm talking about boo-hoo crying because we can't stay longer in fellowship. Because they've been praying for months and months for us to be here and come minister the word to them. When we ministering the word to them, they all in a circle around you on the floor with tablets and pens, and they writing down every single word that you're saying. I'm serious, man. Every single word that you're saying, that translator translating what you're saying, and all you see is heads downs and pen writing. Like they really depend on this stuff. And because when your life is under pressure like that, my brothers and sisters, that's what you really gotta depend on. Let's be real. Man, we have certain lifestyles that we really don't really gotta depend on God like that. I'm not talking to all. I'm just talking to some people right now. I'm not trying to put everybody there. We have certain lifestyle that, I really don't have to cry out to God like that. I mean, my desires make me cry out, but not because I really need him like that. Because, I got my job, I got my paycheck, I got my house, I got my car. A certain we there's a comfort. And I'm not here to despise that comfort. I'm not here to speak against that. To God be the glory for what we have.
But I'm here to tell you that that word begins to manifest a little bit more clear in your life when you exchange your comfort for his cross. And I know that's what he's asking a lot of y'all tonight. You know the cross is going to make your life uncomfortable. You know the cross is going to make your life a little bit intense. You know the cross is going to ask you for things that you're not willing to give up. You know the cross is going to have you up at 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning falling on your face praying before him. You know the cross is going to make you lose sleep. You know the cross is going to make you lose friends. You know the cross is going to make you lose family members. Hey, 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 this is a word from somebody. You know the cross is going to make you end that relationship that you've been in for so long. Every time you finally get the, you know that this not it. And you pull back because you don't want to accept that cross. The cross makes you make grown-up decisions. The cross makes you make eternal decisions. You start making decisions for your soul and not for your flesh. I'm trying to protect my soul now. I'm guarding my heart now. I don't have relationships and abominationships with my feelings anymore. I'm not in touch with my feelings like that anymore. I'm more in touch with the word of God. So anyways, back to the word. It was intense, y'all. You know? I haven't been sleeping, you know, all that good because, yeah, I just keep thinking about that. You know, and even in, I'm telling you, I couldn't even sleep. Every time I hear footsteps, I was waking up like, man. They was watching, you know, we knew that, I don't know if we was getting watched. I don't know if we was getting, I don't know. And I just kept saying, God, just help me get back home. I just want to get back home. I just want to help me get back home, please. But hey, every time that I had to get up there and preach that word, though, man, the Holy Spirit took over, though. I'm going to tell y'all that. I don't care what was going on. When it was time to deliver that word and pray for people, man, miracles, signs, and wonders. I may have been in stress and turmoil and nervous, and I don't know what, you know, what I may, my feelings may have been going through some things, but when that spirit was ready to minister that word, y'all know how we get down over here on the underground. And we literally was on over the in the underground. So yeah, I don't want to just paint a bad light about this truth. I'm not trying to paint a bad light, but I'm just trying to give you the raw truth for certain areas. And that was one of those areas. I would say, like I say, the people of that country, man, was so beautiful, was so kind to me, was so loving to me, always was so welcoming, fed me good, prayed for me in their own tongues. You know what I mean? To the point where when I left Pakistan and when I left Africa, I never cried. You know, I wasn't sad when I left. For some reason, when, you know, they was dropping us off at the airport, I started feeling like sad. And I don't know what, and I know that I was like, this must be the spirit of God. You know what I mean? Because I don't even know these people like that, but I was sad
to like, I guess, leave them like that, or like to know what they gotta go through. I just felt sad for them. And but they got so much joy though. They got so much joy, you know what I mean? They got so much joy. Yeah. It's different. That's all I'm gonna say, y'all. It's different than we certainly have something in our possession when it comes to the word of God that's so powerful that it's so intense like that. It has to be true, man. And so when I read the word now, it's like, yo, this is why these people was dying for this. This is why people was laying down their life for this. This is why people was being persecuted. It must be something powerful. And to see it, like I said, with just in real life and not just read about it, but actually experience it, it must be something powerful. There's a spiritual warfare going on to silence the children of God, to put fear in the children of God, to stop the children of God to really rise into their full potential. That's why this war against you is so heavy. I want you to always remember that, man. I want you to always remember that, young lady. You're going through it because, man, this is real. There's a war against you walking into your destiny. There's a war against you believing the word of God. It's a war against that. It does not want you to take hold of this inheritance that you have. You have the living word of God that was left for you. And all hell is going to come against you when you try to start to believe in it and live by it too? Oh no. Yeah, there's another demonic kingdom that's going to come against you when you try to start to do that. So, yeah. To everybody, if I haven't, to all my friends and family, I haven't talked to you since I got back. You know, I've been jet lagged and also just still kind of like thinking about that, you know, and just trying to wrap my mind around what was going on over there, you know what I mean? And I just need some time to process it, you know. And just thankful to be back. I'm so serious, man. I'm so thankful to be back to walk in my home. Oof, sorry, you guys. To see my wife again, see my daughter again. I'm just thankful, man, you know. And I just don't want us to ever take what we have for granted. And you know, when you have the time to show love to people, when you have the time to show God's love and mercy and grace, man, don't waste that opportunity. You know, do it while you still have that in your tomorrow when you get up, man, you have an opportunity to do right by people. You had an opportunity to show love to people. And I want you to do that. You know what I mean? I encourage you to do that. For real, for real. I love y'all, man. I appreciate y'all coming out to the underground. A place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground. A place to get into the word so the word of God can get into you. And who am I? I'm just the voice of one calling out saying, repent. I seen it, y'all. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Love y'all. I'm out.